Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon. On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
And a good day, everybody. Thanks for tuning in on this Wednesday. It's the day we bring in Edie Hansen of The Growing Place. Try to catch a little bit of wisdom in our morning. I always have to put on my thinking cap with Edie. I really have to concentrate. And I like all the guests that come on to the show. But when Edie's on, it really forces me to think. And really forces me to really concentrate. I can't just kind of just idly... It's not idle chit-chat. It's deep thinking here. So I hope you'll stick with us, and maybe we can learn something about ourselves. Good morning to you. Edie, how are you?
I am well. Thank you for having me on your show.
I love having you on. Edie Hansen at The Growing Place. She is a licensed marriage and family therapist, and we'll be giving out her number later in the show if you're interested in talking to her or some of the other life coaches and licensed therapists that are over at The Growing Place. And we've been talking about positive psychology and so many aspects of it, how to improve our lives. And I want you just to give a brief recap, and then we're going to get into something that I think all of us are going to find interesting and maybe uncomfortable to hear about: self-control and our inability. All of us, maybe I'm speaking just for myself. I think a lot of us have difficulty with self-control. And so, Gidi, let's, you take it away. You have the stage.
Okay, thank you. We've been looking at positive psychology from the viewpoint of Martin Seligman, who is one of the pioneers in it, at the University of Pennsylvania. And within that University of Pennsylvania, they have set up something they call Character Lab. And the mission of Character Lab is to advance the science and practice of character development. And you can go to characterlab.org and read about it. And it is what we would call virtue. So they have split up the strengths into three categories: strengths of the heart, strengths of the mind, and strengths of the will. And it reminds me of loving the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength or all your soul. It just lines right up. Mm-hmm. Strengths of the heart are the helping strengths. They help you relate in positive ways to other people. Strengths of the mind, these are the thinking strengths. They enable a fertile and independent life of the mind. And I'm quoting from the website here. Mm-hmm. And strengths of the will, these are the doing strengths that help you achieve your goals. So I found a strength that falls in all three categories, and that is self-control. They have it under strengths of the heart and mind, but it's really also willpower. It's a strength of the will because it helps you achieve your goal. And they define self-control as controlling one's own responses so they align with short and long-term goals.
Okay.
Which is an interesting, very psychological way of defining self-control.
Because when I think of self-control, I'm thinking of things that you're not supposed to do. It could also be perhaps self-control, maybe things you should be doing. Maybe I should be, because you always think of, I shouldn't be eating this. I shouldn't be smoking this. I shouldn't be drinking this. I shouldn't be looking at this. When I think of self-control, I my automatic thought is things that I shouldn't do, see, take, read, etc., etc. The shouldn'ts of life. But is self-control also talking about things that you should be doing?
Yes,
I should go exercise. I should eat salads and yogurt instead. I should be doing this.
Yes.
I guess that's kind of where I'm going with this.
I think that's wonderful. And it's much more doable when you think of it in the positive way. Uh-huh. And let me give you an example of this. I'm quoting here, or I'm paraphrasing Dr. Walter Mischel, M-I-S-C-H-E-L, who is a pioneer in this psychological view of self-control. But he talks about the parts of the brain, the limbic part, which is where we have a lot of passion and it's where temptation hits us. It's the here and now. It's the chocolate cake is sitting there and I want it right now. And who cares about my diet? Because my diet is in the future. My diet has nothing to do with right now in this moment. And so the hot part of my brain is screaming out for chocolate cake. But the frontal cortex, which is the reasoning part of my brain, which is where my self-control comes in, says, hey, listen, we have a goal. We have a goal to lose 2 pounds this week. We've already lost one. Let's not blow it now. And he says the way you overcome those shoulds and shouldn'ts is you make your goal the hot thing. Mm-hmm. And you drain the heat out of the immediate moment. So you, by making the goal the hot thing, if I lose those 2 pounds, I can wear that outfit to the party on Saturday night that I've been wanting to wear. I've got a closet full of clothes that are going to feel really comfortable if I get this weight off. And what's this chocolate cake? Here today, I'm wearing it tomorrow. No, I don't think so.
Yeah, that's my hardest self-control is the food. I've been finding lately as I've gotten older, I mean, I just enjoy it, you know? And I find myself saying, okay, gosh, here's a donut, here's a candy bar, I need some energy, here's a soda pop, and I know I shouldn't be doing it. And in that area of my life, I have very little self-control. And the only reason I don't look as fat as I probably would be is because, I don't know, maybe I just have good genes, I think, because I'm tall. But other than that, I just eat things I shouldn't be eating. And yeah, that is a hard thing to do for a lot of people. We're going to take a break right now. But yeah, I think food is one of the most difficult things, aspects of self-control. And that's what we're talking about. It reminds me of what Wimpy said from Popeye, who said, I'll gladly pay you for a hamburger on Tuesday for one today. How did that sound?
Pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking about, the marshmallow test. We're going to take a break and we'll continue our chat with Dee Dee Hanson of The Growing Place about self-control right after this.
Feeling my way through the darkness, guided by a beating heart. I can't tell where the journey will end, but I know where to start. They tell me I'm too young to understand. They say I'm caught.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio.
Life will pass me by if I don't open up my eyes.
This is Live Local Talk.
The Growing Place has a number of life coaching seminars involving various issues in your life, relationships, and boundaries. We're kind of talking about here in some regards with self-control. I could get into all of these things, but basically they run, they have several of them running on Thursdays, some running on Tuesday evenings. And I would just advise people to go to tgplace.org if you might be having some sort of relationship issues, or maybe some, you know, depression issues, or, you know, if you have something that's personal in nature and you want to learn more about it, there's a series that you can get, an introductory series on it. And real quickly, Gidi, I know that maybe you might be able to explain better about what some of these.
Yes, these are a series of about boundaries. And basically, Jerry, what you brought up about the food is an internal boundary. Mm-hmm. That's a boundary issue we have with ourselves, where we set a boundary, we set a line, I'm not going to cross that line, and then we go ahead and cross it.
Yeah.
So these classes, just call Connie Nicholas, if you could give the number.
Go ahead. Connie Nicholas, her number is here. As I'm looking at it, and for some reason it's not popping up in my,
Here, I'll read it out.
There it is, Connie Nicholas, Certified Life Coach. Connie Nicholas, Certified Life Coach, 518-5859, 518-5859.
There we go. So, speaking of this self-control, here's another psychological issue. It's called the locus of control. And I love using this in my own life and in the lives of my clients. Mm-hmm. And it's a boundary issue. So people are motivated to behave in a certain way, either by something in their circumstances. So that would be called an external or outer locus of control. Who's got control? My circumstances have the control. My circumstances are in holding the driving wheel of my car. So there's the outer or external self locus of control, or there's the inner or internal locus of control. So there's that donut sitting over there. Mm-hmm. Who has more power, me or that donut? Where am I going to put the locus of control? Am I going to say to the donut, I give you all my power. I give mm-hmm. you myself. Come and conquer me and sabotage my own desires. Or are we going to switch it around and say, wait a minute, I have a choice to make. If I eat that donut, I'm going to reap the consequences, and I'm making the choice, and that donut doesn't have any power at all. This is about me.
Boy, that is and I don't want to, I'll dovetail a little bit on what you had to say there. One of my sons is very smart, does good grades, but he waits till the last minute to do his studies. And I said to him, you know, you're letting the homework control you.
Mm-hmm.
You're not controlling the homework. If you want to control the homework, sit down, do it, get it out of the way, then go watch baseball. Okay?
Right.
Get control of the homework. Don't let your homework control you. You control the homework, and you're going to feel so much more powerful.
You will.
In control.
You will.
And the same thing goes with everything else. If you control it, don't let it control you.
Exactly. And remember, we're creatures of habit.
Mm-hmm.
So the body craves all that sugar you're talking about because I keep feeding it.
Mm-hmm.
But give it time, 2 to 3 weeks, maybe a month. If you feed your body other things, you're going to shift it. You're going to shift your brain. You're going to shift the ruts and the neural pathways in your brain. You like sweets. There's so many good fruits out there.
Yeah.
I ate so many delicious fruits yesterday. I had cantaloupe. I had white flesh nectarine. I had dark purple plums. They're so delicious.
And you just have to keep it away from you. So when the wife goes grocery shopping and she brings back Oreo cookies, that does not help me out at all. But when she brings back watermelon, I love watermelon.
I have a watermelon ripening on my kitchen counter. I can't wait to eat it.
I know. And that is, it's just a matter of, but then we go to other issues, which are, I mean, eating disorders can be dangerous. I mean, it's not a
definite life-threatening. Yes.
It can be. And yes. It could cause heart attacks. It could cause all kinds of problems. I don't mean to make light of it, but there are also those that were, which could cause even greater danger, perhaps, you know, addictions toward pornography, addictions to, drugs, to alcohol. These things are far more, I think, maybe not far more serious, but certainly serious, almost as much as, you know, as eating disorders.
Well, all the things you just mentioned are all self-control issues.
Right.
They're all addiction is a self-control issue.
Mm-hmm.
And usually with addiction, there's a underlying wound that the person is using food or sex or drugs or alcohol to medicate.
Mm-hmm.
So as therapists, we want to get to that underlying wound and heal that up, Lord willing, by His grace. And then it's much easier to deal with the addiction. But for many of us, it's not a matter of addiction.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I indulge in food, I'm not trying to cover up for anything. I love food.
You enjoy it.
I enjoy it. I love food.
Mm-hmm.
And I have found that if I tell myself you can't have it, I rebel. So I tell myself you can have it in moderation.
Yeah.
Everything, you can have as much veggies as you want, as much fruit as you want, as much lean protein as you want. But these other things, in moderation, I'm not going to deny you. Just don't overdo it.
You know, we're going to take a break, but there has to be a situation in which the Bible talks, or Jesus discusses self-control, and it being I don't know if it's a virtue, or is it something that you just need to do. We'll continue our chat with you right after.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio. This is Live Local Talk.
All right, welcome back to the show. Gidi Hansen is a growing place, my guest, and we're discussing self-control and the areas of positive psychology. And Gidi, we've been in the break talking about, biblically, does the Bible talk about, I know we're going to talk about this in a future show, but does it talk about self-control?
Yes, it talks about self-control in many, many places in the Old and in the New Testament. And as you say, we're going to get to that in future shows. In fact, even as I was getting ready to come here this morning, I was thinking about these verses, and there's so many of them. There's almost too many of them to be able to encapsulate in our show, but we will be getting to that. What I'd like to do in today's show, rather than go to the Bible verses, is just focus on maybe some of the struggles that our listeners may be having with self-control.
Well, I know you can't give out too much because you're a licensed family therapist. But what are some of the issues that you face a lot of when it comes to self-control?
It's what we were talking about earlier. It's with boundaries. People have a really hard time with their internal boundaries.
Okay.
Whatever it is, whether they're dealing with adultery or infidelity, some kind of substance abuse, alcohol, or basically making the choices of choosing depression. I know that sounds weird, but we do. We choose depression. We choose anxiety. We work on ants. We work on automatic negative thoughts, on flipping those negative thoughts into more positive and actually more realistic thoughts. Because automatic negative thoughts are almost always unrealistic.
There must be a comfort zone that comes with the addiction. They feel there's
it's a temporary relief that you pay a huge price for.
Mm-hmm.
And the deeper you go into the addiction, the more of the substance or whatever you're using to abuse yourself with,
mm-hmm.
the more of it you have to use to get the same feeling of relief. And then eventually it kills you.
What percentage of people do you believe? Because nobody likes to admit their weaknesses. They want to say, I've got it under control. This is under control. What percentage of the population does have issues that you think would be enough that they should get some help out? I mean, is there more than we realize?
I really don't know because I've never done a clinical trial on that. I have no idea. But I would say this. All of us have issues on self-control, and for some of us, those issues are strong enough to prevent us from living productive lives.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say there was nobody who didn't have to struggle for self-control, and because, what we said in an earlier show from Hebrews chapter 4, that Jesus himself was tempted in every way, yet without sin,
mm-hmm.
he had to contend with it too. He had to contend with all the stuff we contend with. And the stakes kept going up for him because he wouldn't give in to it. So the temptations had to get bigger and bigger and bigger until finally it culminated in the cross.
Mm-hmm. So Jesus was tempted the same ways we were, but he avoided it.
He did not sin.
He did not sin. He didn't avoid it.
He did not avoid the temptation.
So basically, there's no way to avoid the temptation.
No.
The only way to beat the temptation is through self-control.
Yes, and my bishop, God rest his soul, he often used to quip, this is a joke now.
Okay,
listeners, this is a joke.
Uh-huh.
But he used to say, the best way to get rid of temptation is to give into it. The best way to get rid of temptation is to give into it.
Mm-hmm.
And you will get rid of it for a short time.
Yeah.
If you don't give in to it, it nags and nags and nags and it chases you and tries to, to tackle you and get you in a weak moment.
Right.
But thanks be to God. I mean, we have the Holy Spirit.
I find that with food, and I don't think it's really a sin, but I do find that with food. So I'm like, gosh, those cookies look good. Gosh, I could use some ice cream. I could do this. If I just eat it, the temptation goes away.
For a short time.
And then maybe I feel a little guilty about it because I look at my tummy and I go, gosh, I probably shouldn't have done that. But the reality is what your pastor was joking about is in a sense is true, though, isn't it?
It's a temporary relief, but it's not a solution.
But how does God feel about that? He understands it, but he doesn't like it.
Well, he put temptation right there in the Garden of Eden, even before the fall. Mm-hmm. So God tests us. He never tempts us to evil. Mm-hmm. He never does evil, as it says there in James. But he does allow us to enter the arena of temptation. Think of Christ's temptation in the wilderness. It says in the Synoptic Gospels that the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So it doesn't mean that God did the tempting. We mustn't confuse that. Mm-hmm. But he allows us to be tempted. And I think it's for our own sake, because then we realize our dependency on him.
Boy, you're right about that.
And we realize that we need supernatural grace and strength to overcome temptation, mm-hmm. whether it's staring at us as a naked lady or a naked man, or as a donut, or as,
a cigarette.
A cigarette, alcohol, marijuana, whatever it is, gossip, pride, envy, whatever it is. We need the grace of God, you and I, to overcome it. And that's where we're going to be going in future shows. But I didn't want to minimize the power of temptation. I wanted to spend some time talking about the difficulties we have with it.
And we'll continue that next Wednesday with Edie Hansen of The Growing Place, talking about the temptations of sin and self-control.
Thank you.
By the way, if you want to get hold of Didi over at The Growing Place, I promise, the number is 588-044. 588-044. Thanks for listening, everybody.